With Jimmy Hyams, I'm John Wilkerson. We head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline as we get to say hello to Rob Lewis of AllQuest.com as he joins us for the first half of this hour. Rob, how are you?
I'm great, guys. How about you this evening?
Well, big thumbs up, and certainly always appreciate your time. And so we saw the final dress rehearsal for Tennessee before conference play. And first, before we dive into the Vols, what was your reaction to Western Michigan's win over Pitt?
I didn't think that reflected very good on Tennessee. And again, maybe I'm not a Western Michigan expert, John. I will be the first to admit that. So maybe they're loaded. But I don't think that's a great sign for Tennessee that they went to Pittsburgh and beat the Panthers at home and racked up 44 points. And I think it was 573 yards of total offense. Both numbers considerably higher than what Tennessee did.
Yeah, I think salt in the wound, considering that so much of the conversation last week, and rightly so, was if Tennessee just cleans up its operation in terms of starting first with penalties and then turnovers and things like that, there's almost no way it doesn't beat Pitt, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can't lose the turnover battle 3-0, and you can't have 13 penalties for 135 yards. I made this point last week. Tennessee had 136 yards rushing against Pittsburgh, and they had 135 yards of penalties. That's, you don't want those. Anytime those numbers are close, it's probably not been a good day for you.
That's right. So it's certainly a formula that does not result in a lot of wins. But Tennessee was able to post a 56-0 victory over Tennessee Tech. And just your thoughts on how it went.
I mean, it was such a mismatch. It was hard, I think, hard to take anything from it. You know, I guess on the surface, we just talked about the penalties they took for. I think that had clearly been a point of emphasis for the coaching staff, and that showed up on the field. You know, Tennessee came up with 4 interceptions on the day. I thought that was good for a defense that hadn't created, you know, any turnovers. But with the talent disparity, you just don't want to – I think it's dangerous to put a lot of stock into that. I think the best thing about the day was it was really just kind of a chance to get some confidence for yourself and for Tennessee to, you know, get their third game in a brand new system with a brand new coaching staff on both sides of the ball.
Rob, we had an Aubrey Solomon sighting, a defensive tackle. What's happened with him this year?
Yeah, Jimmy, I thought Coach Heupel, if you listen to his comments today, it seemed, I mean, it was thinly veiled that, you know, Aubrey had just not been working as hard as he needed to work and putting in the time. I mean, his comment had something to do with, you know, the dedication inside the building or, mm-hmm. you know, I forget exactly how he said it. Hang on, I just found the quote. He's been better as his investment inside our building has been greater. So I think it's pretty plain that the coaches hadn't liked, you know, the time and the effort and the attitude or the attitude that he was bringing to the table, and apparently that has changed. Because that was a weird thing to see him. Did he play at all the first 2 games? I don't believe that he did.
If he did, he didn't do anything. I was looking for him, and I thought, yeah. Is he sick or hurt or something?
And then he had 6 tackle for a loss. So
yeah.
You know, that's an area where you could never have too many bodies that contribute. So I thought that was a real plus for Tennessee that he got on the field. And I'll tell you, I mean, Rodney Garner, you know this, Jimmy. I mean, if you're not doing it his way, to his satisfaction, to his standard, I mean, you're not going to play. And I think that 3 games in, I think most of his guys and certainly Aubrey Solomon have gotten that message.
What did you think of Byron Young's debut?
I thought it was good. I wasn't expecting him to set the world on fire. I mean, missing you know, the first 2 games and making the transition from junior college to this level. But I thought you could just tell he's a quick twitch guy. He's explosive off the edge. I think he tied with Auburn for the team lead with 6 tackles. And I think he's a guy that is just going to get better and better the more that he, you know, gets reps at this level, because that's a big leap for a kid that, mm-hmm. you know, 2.5 years ago was managing a Dollar General store.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's go to the phones. Randall joins us. Hi, Randall. How are you?
Hey, John. I'm doing great. Any better, I shouldn't stand it. Thanks for taking my call. Jimmy, John, I got a question for you. Got 2. Okay, first of all, Why is Tennessee practicing during the summer with morning practices? And do you think the reason why our inside running game is being a little depleted because Cooper's out and they've had to shift the offensive line? I think if we get those guys back and we can put everybody back where they need to be, especially the guards, I think our inside running game would be a lot better. I'm going to leave it to you guys. I'll get off the air and listen to your commentary. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Randall.
Rob, you want to address the morning practice situation?
The Heupel just thinks that it's better for the kids that they all their focus is on football. They don't he doesn't think they bring distractions into the building from being in class, being among their peers all day long. He likes for that to be the first thing that they do every day. Feels like it improves their focus, and I also think he likes for them to. From the academic and social side, I'm not saying that's a huge part of it, but I think he likes for them to, be done with football early and be able to be college students for the rest of the day. And that's not, other people do that too. It's not just Josh Heupel. I mean, who was it, Dooley, that did it one year?
Yes.
Here?
Yeah.
And I
think a part of it is your players are less likely to stay out late at night if they got to practice in the morning.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that either.
So I think that we've had at least one person in particular thinks that this has had a negative impact on the conditioning of the team. Do you see that?
No, I don't see why that would, but I don't understand that at all.
Practicing in cooler weather instead of hot weather.
I don't make much of that.
Okay. I also wanted to get your take on Florida versus Alabama. Alabama wins 31-29. Florida outrushes them 245 yards to 91. What are your takeaways from Florida against Alabama?
Jimmy, I was really impressed with Florida because I thought Bama was going to steamroll them. And, once they went up 21-3, I certainly thought that. I was very impressed with Florida. If they don't miss an extra point there in the third quarter, then you're looking at overtime against the number one team in the country. I thought and I would assume, is Richardson their starter if he's healthy? Are they splitting time there? Did they do that with their backup quarterback, I guess is what I'm asking. What do you think?
I think if Richardson's healthy, he'll play a lot. Jones has started each game so far, and Richardson had tweaked his hamstring, although he was out there doing backflips before the Alabama game, but he wasn't healthy enough to play, which is interesting. But I was
really impressed with Emory Jones, the total package. He was much more than just a runner against Alabama.
Yeah.
And I thought Florida was really good in both lines of scrimmage. You just mentioned the rushing totals. They took it to Alabama up front in a way that you just don't see.
Now, Tennessee's run defense has been outstanding, but the level of competition has not been necessarily outstanding. How do you think Tennessee's run defense will hold up against Florida?
Oh, I think they'll have problems, Jimmy. You just mentioned the level of competition. Pittsburgh's the only real team they played. Pittsburgh, Tennessee held them under 100 yards. Western Michigan held them to 75. So, how good is Pittsburgh? I don't think very. I think Tennessee will absolutely have their hands full with Florida's ground game. Even with Alabama, 245 yards rushing. That's about 140 below their average through three games.
Well, and also with the ability to run from that quarterback position, Jones and Richardson, that could certainly be problematic for Tennessee's defense as well, couldn't it?
Well, it's always. Tennessee has a mobile quarterback, and it's the best thing they have going for them on offense. Any time in the college game where you have to account for that guy, it makes it tough on defenses. You watch Sunday Night Football. That's an extreme example in Lamar Jackson, but it just stresses defenses to a whole nother level when you have a guy who really is a dual threat.
Our guest Rob Lewis of AllQuest.com as he joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. Going back to the phones, we say hello to KC. Hey, KC, how are you?
Greetings and salutation, guys. I hadn't heard from you in a while.
Yeah, it's sure. Great to hear from you. Hope you're well.
Got a couple of questions, and I'll sit back and listen. Update on Zakai Ziegler. How's he doing? How's he looking in practice? Also, how did the visit go with I think the guy's name is Kaysen Wallace, and with Julian Phillips, and I forgot the Dylan somebody, I forgot his name, but just give me an update on what's going on and how we look in recruiting, and I'll hang up and listen. Thank you, guys.
Ziegler can fly. That's the word you hear from people around the program as far as what he looks like. Is he going to be the backup point guard to Kennedy Chandler? I think that's yet to be determined, but he's a guy that they like his potential a lot. And again, the one thing that I've heard from people is that he is a little guy with just a ton of quickness. Kaysen Wallace was here this past week on an official visit. I think it's pretty clear that was down to Tennessee and Kentucky. A lot of national people seem to think that he's a lock to Kentucky. I don't believe that. I mean, he may end up there, but I don't think any decision has been made. I've met both he and his mother and father, and they're not the kind of people that would be wasting coaches' time if a decision had been made. So I think Tennessee's firmly in the mix there. I think it's a dogfight. He will announce in the first week of November. Julian Phillips is going to make an official visit this weekend coming up. Five-star forward from over in South Carolina who plays at a prep school in Missouri. Competition is stiff for that one. I think LSU and Florida State are maybe the two that Tennessee is really recruiting against. And, you know, that could be a tough challenge based on recent events. And the last one, Dylan Bailey. At Florida State, a lot of people think it's going to be tough to beat. He's from Florida, has a lot of ties to that program. Tennessee has been in to see him the past 3 weeks at his school, and that's kind of they do not have an official visit date set with him yet that I'm aware of.
You said Dylan Bailey. Did you mean Dylan Mitchell?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Dylan Mitchell, a swingman, 6'7" forward from down in Tampa.
Okay, there's another player from Florida. I'll probably screw up his name. Ernest Uday.
Tennessee is recruiting him. He's a big man, but he is not set up an official visit to Tennessee, and he seems to be a kid that likes everybody. You know, I think he's going to be one of these guys that has a hard time cutting it down to five and then three. He's a big-time academic kid. Stanford is a school that you hear mentioned for him. Mm-hmm. Miami is not exactly the hometown team, but he is from Florida, so they're a team that I think is going to be firmly in the mix, but Tennessee is trying there.
Is Tennessee in the hunt for Johann Truer or out of Glendale, Arizona, 16?
He's from France originally. Really, he's a kid that was maybe made the biggest jump of anybody in the country this summer in terms of rankings. Once people got to see him play after, you know, the COVID interlude when a lot of kids were under the radar. Beyond being in his top 10, Jimmy, I don't know. Mike Schwartz, obviously, the assistant coach, has some ties to the French national program that Traore is a part of. And that recruitment has really – back in June, I really thought Tennessee had a very, very good shot at it based off things that I was hearing. And then when he went from being, you know, a fringe top 50 player to being a top 5 player – that recruitment has really, really changed. I don't have a great feel for Tennessee's chances right now because, as I said, that thing has gotten strange.
One other to ask about is Kyron Lindsey from Texas. I think he's supposed to visit Tennessee in October.
Yeah, he has an official visit scheduled. He is a travel teammate of Kaysen Wallace, who Tennessee hosted this weekend. And he's another guy. He didn't blow quite like Traore, but he went from being, you know, outside the top 150 with a bunch of mid major offers to being a top 100 player with a lot of high major offers after his summer exploits. And that's a guy that, again, when you get to this point in the year and kids are making official visits, that means you're in the thick of it.
Rob, with so much change from last year to this year, how important are these workouts to finding some chemistry? Because Tennessee's got talent, but they all have to learn to play together.
Yeah, big offseason, John. I mean, just for exactly the reason you mentioned. I mean, it's a different looking roster entirely. I guess half of last year's roster is gone, either to the NBA draft or via the transfer portal. And you brought in a lot of not only just a lot of new pieces, but a lot of new pieces that are going to be expected to contribute. I mean, I'd be stunned if Kenny Chandler is not your starting point guard. When you're handing the ball to a freshman the summer, preseason in the fall semester are huge for him, especially when you're a maniac on your point guards like Rick Barnes is. the demands that he puts on the kids playing that position. So Justin Powell, I think, is going to play a lot. You're going to have to get something for the two freshman big men, Huntley Hatfield and Jonas Idu. So, yeah, John, just for exactly the reasons you're talking about, developing on-court chemistry, getting a sense of how to play together. I think it's been big. And I also think it's something that the coaching staff has been very conscious of and has tried to foster with how they've approached things.
And then speaking of approaching things, what do you think in terms of, for folks that might not have been listening at the start of our conversation, Tennessee opens SEC play, if you would, just share your thoughts again on the uphill climb that will be a trip to Gainesville.
Yeah, I think you said it best, uphill climb. I mean, if you're Tennessee, and I don't mean to be defeatist or critical, but I mean, these are two programs that are at much different points, in their development. I mean, Josh Heupel's just trying to get things going. He's taking – Jimmy, for the first time in history, Tennessee can they can travel every scholarship player they have on their roster to SEC games if they want to. they have 71 guys, on scholarship. That's absurd. If you're Tennessee, I think you're hoping for an Alabama hangover. And I kind of think the line reflected that. I was a little surprised to see it at 20.5 when it opened. With what Florida looked like on Saturday, the struggles Tennessee's had at quarterback. The depth on the offensive line, and the way Florida looked against Alabama on Saturday, I think it's a very tough matchup, to say the least.
And what will folks find right now if they make their way to VolQuest.com?
Cleaning up the weekend, lots of review stuff from Tennessee Tech, and starting to turn our attention to looking at the Gators. Lots of recruiting, as always, that never stops. Tennessee had some guys on campus this weekend. We caught up with several of those to get their take on Coach Heupel, the new staff, their interest in Tennessee. And as always, John, Austin Price's favorite hour of the week tonight, the VolQuest Monday Night Chat.
Not to be missed for so many different reasons. Hey, Rob, always appreciate it. Thank you so much. Good luck with everything this week, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Rob Lewis of VolQuest.com joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. It is time now, Jimmy. It's always great when we have another week, and it's hard to believe that for some – this was the halfway point of high school football. So it's for them, some are already halfway through the schedule, but we continue to see so many impressive performances one week to the next that we have to take time and celebrate and recognize.
We do. And this is our breakout Knoxville Escape Games Breakout Player of the Week. You can enjoy the area's top-rated escape room as a private experience. You can only play with the team that you bring. You can experience 7 unique themes that are guaranteed to make unforgettable memories with your friends and your family. And you can celebrate your next birthday, your anniversary, a date night, or just come try something new that you're going to love. Visit BreakoutKnoxville.com to choose your adventure. All right. Some of the players, these are honorable mentions. Brody Blankenship at Carter High School had 8 catches, 178 yards, and a touchdown as Carter beat Colefield 34-30. There was Carson Jones at Maryville. He was 15 of 18 passing, 150 yards, and 4 touchdowns in Maryville's 42-6 win over Bearden. Those are two of the top performers, but we're going to share. These others are just too special to not honor. So one is Chandler Wilson. He's the quarterback at Carter. He's having a great year. He's completed 31 of 41 passes, 412 yards, 4 touchdowns. He also had 69 rushing yards and a touchdown in the 34-30 win over Colefield. And then on Rivalry Thursday, the terrific performance by Marcellus Jackson of Fulton High School. He had a 36-yard touchdown reception, a 64-yard touchdown reception. He led the team with 4 catches for 105 yards. He also had a return for a touchdown, and then he had 2 touchdowns nullified, a 60-yarder and a 79-yarder. But what a great performance by Marcellus Jackson. So those are our players of the week, brought to you by Breakout Knoxville Escape Games.
We sure do appreciate them. And, of course, they want you to put your phone down, shut off your TV, close your email, and live an adventure with your friends or coworkers. See for yourself all that there is to see it by visiting BreakoutKnoxville.com.
And Tennessee football recruiting, let's get an update on that from the one and only Josh Ward.
We'll start today's recruiting roundup with an expected change to the size of signing classes. Currently, teams are allowed to sign 25 football players in a class. That includes high school and junior college prospects as well as collegiate transfers. According to Sports Illustrated, the NCAA is expected to pass an immediate rule change next month that would allow teams to add up to 7 additional spots to replace players who leave through the transfer portal. So if a team loses 3 players to the portal, the school signing number could increase to 28, as an example. Tennessee is a school that could have potentially benefited in the last signing class with all the transfer departures following the firing of Jeremy Pruitt. On the recruiting trail, Tennessee hosted several unofficial visitors this past weekend. The Vols are planning to bring in more visitors in October, both officially and unofficially. Tennessee will return home on October 9th when South Carolina comes to Knoxville. Tennessee continues to look for more help on defense. Priorities include the defensive line and finding pass rush help. The Vols are also looking for more talent in the secondary. As for Tennessee's number one target, Powell defensive lineman Walter Nolan, his recruitment continues to be interesting. His most recent top three consisted of Tennessee, Georgia, and Texas A&M. But this morning, Nolan tweeted, quote, "Florida is on the path to get a championship in the next couple of years, and I can see myself there. Hashtag go Gators." So there could be a long way to go with the Vols' top target. Tennessee remains at 14 commitments for the 2022 class. That's 28th best in the country in the 247 Sports composite rankings. That's a look at the latest in Tennessee football recruiting.
And that is Josh Ward. All right, let's hear from Tennessee some postgame comments. First off, this is going to be from Josh Heupel. This is after Tennessee's win over Tennessee Tech. The quarterback, Hendon Hooker, got the start. Here's Heupel.
Josh, how would you assess the play of Hendon Hooker?
Some real positives, decisive, accurate at times. Did a good job using his feet at times. The turnovers can't happen. There's some plays in the pass game from in the pocket. You see wide receivers behind, the secondary again, and we're not connecting on those. Got to at some point make those plays.
Now, Tennessee's Velus Jones, who had a big game, has certainly been impressed with his quarterback.
What makes Hendon Hooker an effective quarterback?
Man, he's really smart. Can read coverages, and not only that, he's a mobile quarterback that can use his legs, to just get a first down for his team. And also, I feel like his accuracy as well. He's just like a complete quarterback that can move around, really like a playmaker. I look at him as a Deshaun Watson quarterback at Clemson. That's his skill set reminds me of that, so he's just a playmaker all around.
That's a heck of a compliment. Reminds him of Deshaun Watson from Clemson. All right, let's hear from Hendon Hooker, 17 to 25 passing, accounted for 4 touchdowns. But I ask him on the situation where Tennessee has these zone reads, what's he looking for there?
On the zone reads, how many of those are predetermined handoffs? And then when you are having a true read where you hand or keep it, what's the percentage that you feel like you're reading it correctly?
Every one of them, reading it correctly. When it's a zone read, it is a read, so none of them are predetermined handoffs.
So that is Hendon Hooker. Now let's hear from Solon Page, Tennessee senior linebacker. Had a pick six in the game, which was huge. Tennessee had went into the game with 0 turnovers forced. They got 4. Here's Solon Page.
So would you take us through the interception and also said that you were maybe a little bit skeptical buying in. What was that about?
Basically off the interception, I was just, thinking really what every football player is make a play. Once the ball came out of the quarterback's hands and I saw it up in the air, I just thought, oh, I got to go get it. Once it got into my hands, it was muscle memory at that point, just going down there making the touchdown. Based off of what Coach Heupel said, it's always a transition when you get new coaches coming in. They're feeling you out as well as you're feeling them out. And once we had that one-on-one conversation, not just with Coach Heupel, but with the entire staff, we all reached an agreement. We was like, all right, where do we want this team to go? And that was, from there, it was, you know, cake.
That's Solon Page. Now more from Velus Jones. Gosh, he had a lot of big plays. There was a kickoff. There was a reception. There was a punt return. Here's Velus Jones.
Velus, take us through the opening kickoff that you almost housed and the reaction when it was called back.
Just like watching film with Coach Eck, great special team coach, watching film with Coach Eck, you know, just having those moments we talk and stuff like that. And he was just telling me that I'm a natural returner, and he was just like, you know, feel it. And so that's what I did, you know. It was a short kick, caught it, looked up, and so I was just going to hit like a seam here, but it closed, and I bounced out and hit the sideline, and I just let my instincts kick in.
What makes you a natural kickoff returner?
I guess it's my feel, and my, I'm an aggressive runner when I have the ball in my hands also. And so, yeah, being aggressive and, you know, hitting everything full speed, you can't be hesitant.
That's Velus Jones. Now, one more from Josh Heupel. He indicated that he didn't think the team was preparing properly 48 hours before kickoff. We asked him about that.
Josh, you mentioned that before Pitt, that the last 48 hours you weren't where you needed to be, but you got better. What do you mean specifically by that?
Just our mental approach, or keeping what's important from our players' perspective. You know, that's as detailed as I'm going to get right now.
That's Tennessee coach Josh Heupel.
Time now for a Tennessee football practice report as we say hello to Eric Kane. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. Doing well. Tennessee, a win on Saturday, 56-0 over Tennessee Tech. The offense rolled 417 yards of total offense, 5.3 yards of play, 79 offensive plays, average just over 3.2 plays per minute. Still not fast enough for Josh Heupel. He said that postgame. But the defense, it did record four takeaways, the first takeaways of the season. Solon Page, a pick six. Hendon Hooker got his first start for Tennessee. He's had a career high of four total touchdowns, three passing, one rushing. He went 17-25 through the air, a 199 in 3.5 quarters of action or so. Harrison Bailey got in there and finished that game in the end. But again, the Tennessee defense racked up four sacks, eight TFLs, four interceptions. And Tennessee, penalty-wise, went from 10 penalties for 134 yards against Pittsburgh to only three penalties for 35 yards against Tennessee Tech. One of those penalties came on the opening play, kickoff return, another one later on in the first quarter. So Tennessee did play a little bit more of a cleaner game. As far as the quarterback situation now and heading into Florida, Josh Heupel was asked on Joe Milton if he is healthy, if he is your starter. Josh Heupel, a little noncommittal as you would expect. Here's what he had to say earlier today in his press conference.
I never speak in hypotheticals. Got a little bit of work last week. We'll find out where he is in particular, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday here and see where we're at that point as far as whether he'll be able to play or not.
So we will have to monitor, of course, who the quarterback for Tennessee will be, if it'll be Joe Milton, Hendon Hooker, or maybe a combination of the two as the week goes on. But now with Tennessee Tech officially in the rearview mirror, Florida and SEC play kickoff this weekend. That game will be at 7 o'clock in the Swamp, and you can hear it right here on the Sports Animal. But Josh Heupel's Monday press conference audio and video up on our website at 99.1thesportsanimal.com.
Eric, what did you think of Tennessee's run game Saturday?
Honestly, I was a little disappointed in it, Jimmy. Tennessee did have over 200 yards on the ground, which was good. Hendon Hooker led the way at the quarterback position, which is fine. But Tyon Evans averaged 2.7 yards per carry on 15 carries. Jalen Wright averaged a little over 4 yards a carry, so that was okay. But overall, Tennessee didn't dominate the line of scrimmage like it needed to, in my opinion. Maybe you saw it a little bit differently. But I thought Tennessee's run game, you didn't just go out there and dominate it like you were supposed to. I mean, it's hard to... I mean, you're nitpicking here, 56-0 shutout victory. I get all that. And the offense certainly had explosive plays. It certainly got the job done against what is Tennessee Tech. But I thought that run game performance, the offensive lines, the tight ends, and the running backs all together wasn't up to satisfactory in that ball game.
No, I agree with you. I also think that they probably need to get Cooper Mays back, not because Carvin isn't doing well at center, but I think Carvin is – The guard replacing Carvin's not doing well. So I think Mays at center, Carvin at guard makes that line better. What do you think?
Oh, I think without a doubt it makes it better. Now, will it fix everything? I don't know. But I do think it's, you know, on your way to getting things back to the way it should be. And, of course, you know, we haven't seen that offensive line really operate but, what, maybe two series, the first two series of the season. And you score two touchdowns against Bowling Green. But having Cooper Mays back at center, the pace, I think that would help with pace as well. Jerome Carvin said that he was very mindful of how it all starts with the center, getting up on the line of scrimmage, getting set. That way everyone else can get set. But I think Cooper Mays will help in that regard. I think having Carvin back at left guard will help very, very much because it's been a rotating door between Ollie Lane and Kingston Harris. But still, I think Tennessee, you know, overall will, you know, need to get better production out of Javonte Spraggins as well. I think Tennessee at the tackle spots have been okay for the most part, but overall, tight ends included, I think this run game has got to perform a little bit better, especially now with SEC play.
Is there any update on Mays or Cade or Cooper Mays or any other injured players?
Not really. Josh Heupel did mention or specifically ask, of course, about Joe Milton. We just heard from him there. Ask about Kingston Harris and Cooper Mays on their availabilities for this weekend. He said that nothing is finalized with those guys, but he does believe that they have the opportunity to be with the team this weekend. And that was kind of expected. Cade Mays went down on the Hendon Hooker fumble, and he went and made the tackle, came up limping a little bit, and he didn't play. I saw a lot of those guys, Kingston Harris included, still on the sideline, still with their teammates on Saturday. It was probably one of those situations to where it's, okay, bring him out now. It's Tennessee Tech. You don't need to, you know, take any further risk. And I think a lot of these guys that were held out on Saturday as well were, you know, just that, held out for, you know, from the coaching staff. Josh Heupel was said on Vol calls that it might not be smart to play Cooper Mays in that football game on Saturday, and of course Cooper Mays didn't play. So nothing finalized on any of the guys who are out due to injury, but I would expect a good bunch of them to be back and available, Kingston Harris and Cooper Mays as well.
One other thing, what did Heupel say about Florida?
Well, you know, he said he watched the game of Florida against Alabama, and they had a chance to go out there and win it, or at least tie it there at the end with a two-point play. Said that Florida's very physical up front. They're long, they're athletic. They're big in the run game, and they're big in the run defense and do a great job there. Offensively, they run the football, top five in the country in rushing, and it all starts at the quarterback as well, not just throwing the football but also running the football, saying that Emory Jones, he's a runner. He's not a quarterback. He's a runner. He makes the first guy miss. Sometimes he can run through you and break tackles as well, and said that it's going to be a tremendous challenge. Florida's one of the best teams in the country. Florida, one of the best teams in the SEC, obviously, and that you know, his guys, Tennessee, is excited about that challenge.
Any other news or notes?
That'll do it here for a Monday. Of course, Josh Heupel, his Monday weekly press conference up on our website, audio and video, as well as players. We had Alante Taylor, Jerome Carvin, and Javonte Payton, who chatted with us today. All that is up on our website, 99.1thesportsanimal.com. One more note, Tennessee at Missouri. That is going to be a noon Eastern time kick on the SEC Network. That was announced earlier today. Today's football practice report is brought to you by Pools by Heritage. Beat the spring rush. Get your pool started now. From design to construction to maintenance, one call can do it all. Call Pools by Heritage at 947-7527.
Eric, sure do appreciate it. Thank you very much. Have a great night, a wonderful show in the morning, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you. And that is a Tennessee football practice report. We'll get a break when we return. Hour number four of Sports Talk. We always look forward to catching up with Gerald Hodges, SEC replay official. He'll be on board for his weekly visit. And that follows your chance to win with a Sports Fix at 6. That's next on 99.1 The Sports Animal.